I love that song, don't you? Don't get any better than that. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Begin reading in verse number 18. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse number 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for that fountain that's been filled with blood, that you shed your blood. Lord, we trusted in the finished work of Calvary. Now I know heaven's going to be mine. Thank you for that. Help us tonight as we come together around your word. I pray that we'll continue to worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray that we'll be instructed from thy word, that we may be able to do the work that you have for us to do. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and praise for what is accomplished. For we trust you with these things. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We preached just a few weeks ago the first few verses of this chapter on no other doctrine. No other doctrine. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's instructing him on how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And it begins by saying that doctrine is so very important. Amen. Then last week we came and we found that there was no other declaration, and Paul declared some things. And he says, I have nothing else to declare than the Lord. I have nothing to glory in except for Christ. The cross of Calvary. And he closes out this chapter, this human-made chapter. We understand this, but this chapter closes, these last few verses. We go from no other doctrine to no other declaration, and we're going to close by looking at no other defense. No other defense. Paul has just given Timothy his personal testimony. And as he's reviewing his testimony, Paul gets carried away into the heights of glory. And in verse number 17, he says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Paul's excited about what God has done in his life, about the reality of Jesus Christ. And he says, now unto him be glory forever and forever. Now we see he kind of comes back down to earth in his letter to Timothy, and he's telling this son in the faith, his son Timothy, that there's a war that's worth fighting. There's battles worth battling over. And there was a time when he wrote the elders of the church of Ephesus, and he told them that grievous wolves would come in. If you go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 20, you can read about that. And chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30, he says, For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So Paul told these elders at Ephesus, there's going to be some wolves come in sheep's clothing. There's going to be some wolves come in to try to devour you. And even among your own people, among your own selves, there's going to be those that's going to try to deceive you. Well, now apparently, they've entered in. They've come to Ephesus. And Timothy's the pastor here now, and he's going to have a fight on his hands. He's going to have to take his stand. And Paul writes here of a good warfare. that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. There's so many churches that are fighting worthless battles. They're fighting fights not worth fighting. But there are some fights worth fighting. And that's what Paul is writing to Timothy about. If you're going to fight this war, Paul says, if you're going to war a good warfare, there's no other defense than these things. And Paul gives us some things. He gives Timothy some things here that if he's going to war a good warfare, that here's his defense. Here's what he needs to have. Number one, he needs to have faith. Thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith. The Bible says that this is where it all begins. For by grace are you saved through faith. So this is where everything starts. We have to have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is helping us to understand that we are to hold this faith. We're holding this faith. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, as Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And then notice what he says in verse 16. "Above all," above everything else, "above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Paul says, as he's writing to the church in Ephesus, he's writing a letter to, here we're reading a letter to the pastor of Ephesus as he writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, above all, he says, put on this armor. A helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the devil. That's your defense. Your faith is your defense. And this must be a part of our lives. Paul is telling Timothy these things here. And he's already instructed the church at Ephesus, and he's writing to Timothy as the pastor, and he says, holding faith. He's helping Timothy to understand, just as he put his faith in the Lord for salvation, now he has to put his faith in the Lord for the battles. So many times, we trust the Lord with our souls. We ask Jesus Christ to save us, and by grace, He does through our faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary. Well, if His faith is big enough to save us, isn't His faith big enough to keep us, to protect us, to defend us? Do you understand that we have what we need? We need no other defense than this faith. I believe John wrote it well when he said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." John agreed, Paul agreed, Timothy understood these things, James understood these things, Peter writes about these things. We read about faith in the Gospels. We understand the faith of the early church in the book of Acts. His faith is a key. There's no true victory outside of faith. The opposite of faith is pride. Faith is trusting what God can do. Pride's trusting what you can do. And Paul was wanting Timothy to realize that it was not about his own ability, that would be pride. He was saying, this is about what God can do. Your defense needs to be faith in God. Timothy, there is a fight worth fighting. You need to war a good warfare, and here's how you do it. Holding faith. If you're going to war a good warfare, you must hold the faith. You must trust the Lord. But not only do we need to hold faith, the Bible also says if we're going to war a good warfare in this world, we need to have a good conscience. Amen. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Faith and a good conscience. Many can put on a front. But in order to war a good warfare, the person must have a good conscience, Paul's writing to Timothy. Six times in the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Paul mentions the conscience. And the conscience is something we need to have, a good conscience. We must keep it clear. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 2, the Bible writes of those that have their consciences seared with a hot iron. This is what unconfessed sin will do in your life. It will sear your conscience. But the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a Savior is He! We cannot war a good warfare if we do not have a good conscience. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him, who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Everything must be clear in a person's life if we're going to be a good soldier and if we're going to war a good warfare. We need to have a good conscience. And by the way, the Bible says we're to have a good conscience toward God and man. That's what we need for our defense. No other doctrine, no other declaration, no other defense. Paul was writing to Timothy and helps Timothy understand. He's already told the elders at Ephesus, there's going to be wolves come in. There's going to be some of you that's going to rise up and try to deceive others and to bring others away, and you're going to have to fight for what's right. We get into more of that as the book of Timothy goes along. Well, you get over to verse 4, chapter 4, when it talks about seducing spirits. And the evil waxing worse and worse. But he says, Timothy, I've told the elders. I've written the church at Ephesus to above all things take the shield of faith. And you need to have hold faith and have a good conscience. Did you know you'll not be the soldier you ought to be if you're not living the life you ought to be living? If you're not dedicated to your army, to your comrades, if you're not living a life so that those that's in the foxhole next to you can trust you, you're not going to war good warfare. As a matter of fact, you're going to hurt everybody that's around you. We need to work on being sure we have a good conscience. When you lay your head down on your pillow at night, you ought to know I am right with God and I am right with man. A good conscience. There are some people that can say some of the meanest things and it seems like it absolutely never bothers them that they've hurt somebody's feelings. They're not a good soldier of Christ. I have said things before offhandedly, not meaning anything by it, and thought I hurt somebody's feelings and lost sleep over it. Not meaning to say anything. And I've went back and apologized for things that I really had no idea would ever have offended somebody. But I want to have a good conscience with man, and I want people to know I care enough that I don't want to hurt your feelings. Now, I'm not going to compromise the truth, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to have something driven between me and man, or between me and God. Holding faith and a good conscience. If we do not hold faith and a good conscience, then we're in danger of destroying our lives. Paul said, some had made shipwreck of their lives. Because, why? Because the Bible says, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Christians that deny their faith or don't live up to what God would have them to live, don't live by faith, is going to shipwreck their life. You're going to run into the rocks and your ship is going to sink. When people sin and turn away from the truth, they're going to crash into the rocks. Hymenaeus and Alexander did just that. They sinned against the truth that they were presented. I'm not sure if these men were ever saved. I know, according to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse 17 and 18, you can read this with me. I'll read it to you. The Bible says, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrowing the faith of some." They made shipwreck of their life and made shipwreck of other people's lives. They're not warring a good warfare. I don't know that these were ever saved. But the Bible says here, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." In the days of the apostles, such authority was given to apostles to do things just like this. You know, we need to understand that's done for the purpose. It was done for the purpose of preserving the truth. Paul said, "I delivered them to Satan." Remember, God's word was not yet complete. There were special circumstances surrounding lots of things in this New Testament. Lots of the miracles that these apostles were able to perform, we're not going to perform that. We're not miracle workers. There are no divine healings today. There is one divine healer. He's in heaven. But there's no man that can touch you and heal you. But we know that God had given apostolic authority and He had done this for the purpose of preserving the truth. Now, while the Word of God was not complete at that time, today God's Word is complete. And while we don't have the apostolic authority, we have what's called church discipline. And the purpose of church discipline is to keep people from shipwrecking their lives and helping them to war good warfare. That's what it's all about. Paul says to Timothy, you don't need any other defense than faith and a good conscience. That's how you war good warfare. Faith in God and a good conscience toward God and man. But if you don't have these things, you're going to run up on the rocks. You're going to make shipwreck of your life. I know a lot of Christians tonight that aren't out sailing the seas. They've run ashore. And they've sunk their ship and destroying not only their lives, but the lives of others around them. We look and we see all that's going on in our world and in our society. We say all kinds of things. But I am convinced tonight that if Christians would rise up and be what we're supposed to be, we can change our world. Because we'll be fighting the good fight and warring a good warfare. If churches would have been what they were supposed to be throughout the years, then we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in today. Mark it down. But somewhere, we decided there were some fights that was worth fighting that really was not worth fighting for. And we see a lot of people's lives have been shipwrecked. We need to war good warfare. You say, how do you do it? Well, you have to have the right defense, faith, and a good conscience. Right? Right. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. I want to thank you for loving us. And thank you for your precious word and what it means to our lives. I thank you for how you inspired Paul to write to Timothy. The very words he wrote, how they encourage us and inspire us and strengthen us and help us. But tonight, in the midst of this congregation, there may be those who need to come and say, I need to hold the faith. There may be some that needs to come and say, I need to get my conscience clear between me and you, Lord. There may be some that just needs to come and say, Lord, I'm surrendering to whatever you have for my life. Lord, I pray that we would all be obedient to what you put in our heart to do. Thank you, Lord, that you will fight for us. Lord, that you will defend us as we hold faith and have a good conscience. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to your word, to your will, to your work that you have for us to do. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly stand.